Well, praise God, as you're finding your seats, if you would, please turn with me in your Bibles once again to 2 Peter chapter 1. And we are winding our way up the ladder of patience. I hope you're having patience with me as I as we slowly climb this ladder or these stepping stones. But they are really critical, and I think it's important that we have a firm grasp upon them. Well, let's read our text this morning before we begin. Reading 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our hearts together this morning. Let's ask God's blessing to be with us. Heavenly Father, we give all honor, glory, and praise to you, and thank you, Lord, for your goodness and for your grace. As we've come together this morning, Lord, to worship and exalt your name, but also, Lord, to be strengthened in our faith through the ministry of your word, we ask, dear God, that once again you would move by the power of your Holy Spirit upon our hearts and lives. Speak through this, your servant, today. We pray also, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear and a heart to understand. And this we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. One prayer request I neglected to mention was Val. She's in Iceland. And so pray that God, that she would have a good trip. And I texted her, but I hadn't heard back from her. So we look forward to her coming back and sharing with us some beautiful pictures. But as some have said, well, actually, no one said it. I just kind of thought of it in my head. But one of the four-letter words in Christianity is patience. Nobody wants patience, and especially today, no one wants patience. In fact, I look at the way our lives now, and I read how long people had to wait in the Old Testament, and I think to myself, in the flesh, mind you, there's no way I would have made it. Think of Moses, one of the people that comes to mind, and I talk about Genesis often. It's one of my favorite books in the Bible, definitely my favorite in the Old Testament. But I think of Moses, who had a burning passion to liberate his people from the bondage of slavery, had to wait 40 years. In fact, he waited to the point where he didn't want to even do it any longer, and then God moved upon his heart and life. Joseph spent a number of years as a prisoner, 13, I believe, from age 17 to the age of 30, as a prisoner before the fulfillment of God's promise that he would be a leader of his family came to pass. David, a number of years he spent as a fugitive in the land of Israel, the land of Judah. Even though he was anointed as king, he had to wait. And so on and so forth. So many stories talk about how people had to wait many years before they saw the promises of God fulfilled. Not to mention what the book of Hebrews chapter 11 talks about as far as faith, and I know we're not preaching about faith this morning, but actually we are. Because you cannot be a man or woman of faith unless you have patience or the ability to wait upon God. The Bible says in that great chapter of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, some people received a promise. In fact, all promises kind of center or focus on one thing, and that's Jesus the Messiah. Many had received the promise and had believed the promise, but they took that belief to the grave without seeing it come to pass. In fact, many faithful Israelites, Jews in the Old Testament, believed fervently in their heart that the Messiah would come, but perish before they actually saw him with their eyes, although they now see him and they are now in his presence. And patience is no less more necessary today than it was back in the time of the Old and New Testament saints. You and I need patience just to function in society today, in a society that is growing increasingly impatient because we want and expect everything to happen right now. Case in point, if you send me a text and I don't get back to you right away, Jim, is it in the back or the front of your mind, when in the world is this guy going to get back to me? But God doesn't work that way. In this series of messages, we've talked about how God's ways are above our ways. And that includes God's timing. God's timetable doesn't conform to your table or my timetable. In fact, as far as life and the kingdom of God, in which you and I have been called to, not only do we have the privilege to live in it, but we've been called to build it. There are a lot of moving parts that are going on. And sometimes the moving part, which is you and me, sometimes we have to stand still and wait until other parts do their thing before God can move in a certain way or move through us in a certain way in our lives. Patience is necessary. It's necessary for your soul. It's necessary for the church. In fact, did not Jesus say that we're to love one another over and over and over again? He certainly did. How can we love one another if we're not patient with one another? How can we experience unity if we don't love one another, not patient with one another? How can we testify to the world that we are his disciples if we do not love and do not have patience with one another? We certainly can't. We've talked about the need for patience, and we talked about what patience is and the blessings of patience. But this morning I'd like to just take some time and talk about five different things, and we'll move through them quickly this morning. I'm not going to try your patience by stretching this out one more message. Five different things that we can do in order to open up our hearts and our spirits and allow the Holy Spirit of God to form this very important and critical virtue of patience, because you and I cannot love as Jesus loved without it. Of course, the first few are very obvious, and we're going to go through them very quickly. Number one, being living righteously before God. If you're living in sin, if you're not dealing with sin in your life, what is sin? He who knows to do right and does it not, To him it is sin. Let me share with you personally as we talk about this, two ways that I struggle with sin in my life. Number one, the stumbling or falling back into sins that I know better. I know none of you have ever done that, but I find myself doing that occasionally, or more often than I should, definitely more often than I want. That's something, and there's two things that happen when we stumble. And you're in pretty good company if you do that. I don't mean that's something you should aspire to, but think of the Old Testament greats, people of faith, who knew God, loved God, served God, but who stumbled, and God was able to redeem them. Two ways we can respond to stumbling. Number one, we can just give up. It ain't worth it. Or we can find our pleasure in the sin that we're doing rather than in the Holy Spirit and the clarity of heart that allows us to see God and feel the presence of God in our lives. Bible telling us, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see the Lord. So we can continue in sin, or we can, when we fall down, pick ourselves up, repent, ask God to forgive us, and commit to living righteously before the Lord. But another way that we struggle with sin is revealed sin down the road that we weren't even aware of. I have this happen in my life, where all of a sudden I'm going along, life is pretty good. I think I'm doing great, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit convicts me of something in my life that doesn't measure up to His Word or to His calling upon my life, not just as a pastor, but as a man of God. And then I realize I'm not really as holy or as righteous as I thought I was. And I've got to go through this whole cleansing process of, once again, oh God, I submit this area, this part of my life to you, this lust, this greed, this envy, Lord, this jealousy, Lord Jesus, whatever it might be. Without holiness, the Bible says, no man can please God. And so if we're going to both receive patience and secondly, grow in patience, it's important that we strive to live and walk right before the Lord. Reading Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us rid ourselves of every obstacle and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let's run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking only at Jesus, the originator and perfecter of the faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. There is so much that we can look at here in this scripture. But essentially what this is saying is that if we're going to become people of patience, we need to be people who are masters over our old nature, over our sin nature, or over our sins. I'm not sharing any brand new revelation with you this morning. We all know this. However, it's not only, I hate to use the word interesting, but it's the only word that's coming to my mind this morning. How interesting, but how tragic it is that so many men of God, leaders, pastors, people who influence many because of the scope of their ministry, fail to grab a hold of the scripture and allow their lives to be entangled with sin. Secondly, there is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Again, a very obvious, but something that we need to mention. Because one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is patience. It is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm listing five things, but essentially these five things are just you and I opening our hearts and allowing the Holy Spirit to come in and form patience within us, because you can't do it by yourself. And the reason I say that is I've tried and it doesn't work. You need God. And if you're not walking in the Spirit, you know, it's not enough to live, you know, I'm going to do the right thing every day. If you're not walking in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, you will never become a person of patience. Reading the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, talking about the power of God. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and ask that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience joyously. The Holy Ghost. I remember someone shared a joke, and it may give you a little chuckle, but it has a very serious message. It was a minister who actually shared it during a minister's conference. And he said he saw a friend, and his friend jokingly said to him, "Hey, I spoke to the Lord yesterday. He said he'd like to hear from you sometime." And the pastor said when he heard it, he laughed. And then when his minister friend left, he went into his office and he cried. Because in that little joke, there was a great truth that spoke to his heart. That it had been some time since he had really been walking with the Holy Spirit. My friend, if we want any of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, we need to be walking with Jesus. He is a friend that walks closer and that is closer than a brother. I consider you all my friends. And you and I can go out and we can have dinner together, but I can make the decision while we're eating not to say a word, not even to look at you. In fact, I've had a few dinners like that, very, very uncomfortable. Maybe you have too. Is that how we are treating Jesus? If so, we will never become people of patience. Thirdly, it's important that you and I as believers, if we're to grow in patience, that we guard our hearts. And specifically, when I speak about this, we guard the word of God that the Lord Jesus Christ has planted within our hearts. One of my favorite parables or illustrations that Jesus teaches is the parable of the sower and the seed. Now the sower goes out, and the sower, you could call him a planter. How he goes out, he takes seed, and he just throws the seed everywhere. And that's how he plants. And some of the seed goes on the path, some of it goes in rocky ground, some of it goes in the thorns, and some of it actually lands on good earth that's been broken up and that's ready for planting. Not a very wise sower, but there's a reason why Jesus shares that, that we won't get into today, but we'll talk about maybe sometime in the future. Reading Luke 8:15, this tells us what the seed represents and what we're to do when the seed from the Lord, the seed of the Word of God, is planted within us. The seed in good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word with a good and virtuous heart and hold it firmly and produce fruit with what? With perseverance or with patience. Holding on to that nugget of the Word of God that has been sown into your heart. Chiefly being the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you have been saved by Christ alone, through grace, by faith alone, in Jesus. Holding on to that truth in your life, and as you continue to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, taking time to sow more seed. And seed isn't $1,000 that you send to some evangelist on TV. Spiritual seed is the Word of God that you plant in your soul. And if you want, not only should you want, if you're going to be a person of patience, because you need to be a person of patience, when that seed is planted in your soul, you have to guard it with all of your heart. Because there are three things that will try to take that seed from you and nullify the progress of patience that God wants to bring you through in the name of Jesus. One thing that can take the seed out of your heart are what this parable refers to as thorns. And what, maybe I should have read the whole parable this morning, but you can read it later. It's also in Matthew 13, I believe. But thorns represent riches and cares of the world. Let me ask you as you go through the week, what do you think about? What are your meditations? Are you thinking about the goodness of God? Have you gotten up in the morning? And I know different people study and read at different times. But let me tell you, the best way to start your day off is to take at least one scripture and read and think upon it. And ask God to give you something to meditate from the Word of God about the Spirit of God that day. Do you spend your day as you're driving to work, as you're eating your lunch, as you're doing your routine, whether you're working at home or at your job or whatever it might be? Are your thoughts and your meditation and your delights upon the Word of God, upon the wisdom of God, upon the Spirit of God? Or are you, as the illustration of the thorns, and I might not finish this sermon this morning, I'm taking a lot more time, but I think these things are very, very important. Are you thinking about, and I'm just sharing from my own personal experience, especially when I was younger, are you thinking about how can I get ahead? How can I make more money? How can I get more things in my life? These are things, you know, how can I become more popular? You know, it seems like, at least back in the day, it's difficult to figure out youth and where they're coming from today, and I don't blame young people for that. I blame our generation for that, because we're throwing so much garbage at them and we've exposed them to so much ungodly stuff. Back in the day, you can accept Jesus, but your goal could be self or achieving something. Let me tell you, thinking about what can I get, how can I get ahead, how can I make more money, how can I have more things, you're not only playing with something that's detrimental to your faith, you are playing with fire. And the reason I say that is this: the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And if your mind and your meditations are upon things and having more and more, having a bigger bank account, having more possessions, I want that boat, I want that car, I want that second home. And I mean, things aren't evil of themselves, but the desire of those things will kill you spiritually. It can actually bring you to a place of all kinds of sin because the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And if that is your mindset, you will never become a person of patience. Secondly, and this kind of goes right along with, thorns not only relate to riches, they also relate to the cares of this world. And I'll just share with you kind of the evolution of my weakness. When I was young, it was all about what I could get. Maybe that wasn't you, but you know, what can I get? And in fact, my goal when I was in high school, I wanted to get it. I didn't care what I did. I just wanted something I could make a lot of money. I liked working anyway, so it didn't really matter. But I just wanted to get something where I could make a lot of money and I could do whatever I wanted to do. And as you get older, for some people, that stays with them. But as far as my life, my struggle isn't so much that. I kind of want to get rid of stuff now. The struggle when you become older now, especially in the culture that we're living today in, is all the cares and all the pressures that we are under. My life changed when I got married. Why? Because now I'm responsible for another human being. I'm not saying my wife wasn't capable or isn't capable. She certainly was. But I made a pledge before God that I would love, honor, cherish, protect, provide, and all the other stuff that was in our marriage vows. I should have had that better memorized. I've said those so many times and leading people in a wedding ceremony. And then that goes even further when you have children, because now you're not just worried about yourself and your spouse. Now you're worried about your kids. And it goes from, you know, making sure they don't get too close to the stairs, or, you know, they get, you know, in the wrong drawer, or do the, you know, everything's locked up tight and the gate's on and all this stuff. It gets worse as they get older. Oh, Leah, when Wyatt starts driving, it's a whole new world. I'm sure he'll be a very good driver. Remember talking to someone just recently. Can't remember if it was my brother. I can't remember exactly who it is, who it was. But, you know, back when I started working, older people were entering retirement that I was working with had worked for companies for 30, 40, some 50 years. Same company. Great pension. Wonderful benefits. Didn't have to worry about anything. You're going to retire and do all this stuff. No more today. And the way our government, and we need to keep our government in prayer for so many reasons, the way our government handles, spends, and mismanages money, I'll be very surprised if our country isn't in some kind of a bankruptcy similar to the city of Detroit before I get a chance to retire, which right now looks about to be the age 82. What am I saying in all this? Cares! It gets our mind off of the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? My God, from Philippians chapter 4, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Well, God didn't realize that my company was going to shut down. Or God didn't realize that I was going to lose all my investments because of a Ponzi scheme or some other tragedy that happened, you know, the crashing of the stock market. Or God doesn't realize I'm no longer able because of maybe an accident or something else that happened in my life, and I can't work anymore. And so now, instead of working, and you know, I'm speaking to a lot of you who are my age or a little bit older, are thinking, you know, when it's time to retire, am I going to have enough to survive? In fact, news is kind of stirring these things up. We're hearing about how this fall there's going to be double-digit inflation and things like that, and the whole COVID business, and it's all, you know, you would think there are people dying in the streets of COVID. And I'm not saying we don't take it seriously and be careful. When our minds meditate on cares, what we're doing is undermining the elemental thing that you and I need to maintain our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, which is faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And one of the things that we have seen through this series of messages is that patience actually it's a part of. You can't really be a person of faith without patience, because faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things not seen. You cannot become a person of patience and therefore a person of love, which God has called us to be, if we're constantly thinking and worried about all the cares and problems that we have personally, that's going on in our cities and towns. I know youth violence and crime is up. Things that are happening nationally. And let me share, and I feel this. I'm not speaking down to anyone this morning. Even in the case of our children, I think one of the biggest cares of a loving parent is their kids. And one of the things I constantly have to do as a parent is continue to put the lives of my children upon the altar of God and say, God, you've got to take care of their issues. You've got to take care of their problems. And let me share with you just personally what God has spoken to me about it. They, just like you had to go through the things you had to go through to get to the place where I wanted you to be, they have to go through their things as well. God didn't say this, but the implication was let go and let God. Doesn't mean we don't pray, doesn't mean we don't comfort, but it does mean we don't worry and fixate on that, so we're not communing with the Lord Jesus Christ, or specifically, we're not guarding the Word of God, specifically His promises within our heart this morning. One more before we close today, very, very quickly. And then we'll definitely conclude this message in 3 weeks. Derek Brown is going to be here next week. Pastor Warren's going to speak the week afterwards. But fourthly, this morning, it's important that we endure hardship. James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Once again, verse 3, just the latter part of that. The testing of your faith produces endurance. There are a number of things that we do. The Word of God, the promises of God, the strength that comes through the Word of God, communing with the Holy Spirit, living right before God. Those are things that opens the door to the ministry of God's Holy Spirit to produce patience within your life, without question. But they're not the only things. Patience isn't just book work, where you just you go in a room and you take notes. And I'm going to take good notes on being patient, and therefore I'll be patient. It's an important part. But the only way you really master patience is going through a time of difficulty. And the reason for that simply is this. While you're going through that time, and difficulty is for a time, it's not eternal, you have to wait upon God. And God ordains that that season goes on in your life in order for you to grow in patience. I'm not saying God is not the author of evil, and the enemy comes, and we saw in the life of Job how God allowed Satan to afflict Job. But he allowed it for a purpose. I would even go so far as to say he ordained it for a purpose. In your life, you are going... I can't soft soap it, and I can't sidestep it and not talk about it, because it would be doing everyone in this room a disservice. If you are going to serve Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are going to go through a time of testing. And what is testing? It's something that's happening in your life that, number one, you don't like. Number two, often, although sometimes you will, you don't understand. And number three, you know God is able to deliver. In fact, not only do you know he's able to deliver, there's a promise that he will deliver, but that deliverance is withstanding, is in our minds late in coming, not in God's minds. Again, his ways are above our ways. And as we learn to sit and wait, not complain, not give up, continue to be faithful in knowing God, in serving God, in praising God, even when we don't feel like it, even when we're angry, God uses that. Essentially, what we're doing, we're opening that door wider for the Holy Spirit to come in and form patience within our lives. Paul puts it this way to Timothy: endure hardship like a good soldier. Let me just end this point by saying this. In Christ, you are strong enough not only to overcome, but to get through every situation that the world or the enemy can throw against you. Hold on. Not only will God deliver, God will get you through victorious, and you'll become more of a patient person, which is a person of greater faith, because they're able to wait upon God without seeing. And a greater person of love. Why? Because love is kind, and love, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, is patient. Let's stand together this morning. We're going to conclude the message in just a few moments. But as we do, I have a bay window at my home. And when someone comes to my door, I can look out that bay window. And I can see who's coming up the walkway. UPS, I'm right on it. USPS, right there. All caught up in my bills. guy with a clipboard who's been at other houses knocking on the door. I just think I'll let him go. Sometimes I just let him go his way. Pretend I'm not home. I'll let my dog just bark to his heart's content. And the Holy Spirit, in all seriousness, comes knocking at your door and says, I want you to open up. In fact, Revelation 3 puts it this way. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And the Lord's at the door and knocks and says, I want to introduce patience into your life. Do you treat him the way I treat the vinyl siding salesman? Or do you open up and let him in and say, God, even though I don't want it, I need it. Come in and form this virtue of patience within my life. Let's sing this morning.